Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I will just give you the heads up that today's program, I think, is going to have just a different feel. Whether that's good or bad, I'll leave in your hands to judge. I'm just being upfront with you. I would prefer not to be here today. I would prefer right now to be in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or, well, anywhere in Israel right about now. I have obligations here, as you know. And I'm not talking professionally. You know, that stuff you can put aside and move on to something else. That's not the point. Family, obviously far more important than any of that. Heidi is off on her musical adventure, and I think I shared with you in the past. She's been gone for, I don't know, I want to say about 10 days. I guess I could look at the piles of laundry, and I get some indication of how long she's been gone. But the boys and I said, look, you work really, 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 really hard as the executive director of Cast Cats. And make no mistake, it's not an easy job. And so we kind of put our money together and said, you deserve a vacation. And Heidi loves music. Absolutely just loves music, loves live music, loves concerts, loves anything related to that. And that was actually her job out of college. And then she gave all of that up when we got married and became a full-time mom. I wonder if every once in a while she looks back and says, huh, I don't know, that other job was a little bit easier. But we said, you need to go. Well, we don't want you to go, but you know, you need to go for a little bit. Go, have some fun. So she has been visiting with one of our friends, and it's an interesting thing. Our pal Pete lives in London, outside of London. And he comes and visits us, and we have a great time hosting him. And then Heidi goes over there, and they've got the same sort of musical tastes, if you will. His wife doesn't, and I don't. So it's really an interesting kind of a thing that's developed through the years. But we're all good friends, and so we said, we're going to buy you the airplane ticket, and we're going to, like, put together a couple of bucks for concert tickets and hotels and all that other good stuff. And I made most of the arrangements. Now, she had to do, again, some hard work, but she did it. So that's where she's been. And so I have had total Julia duty. Now, I love Julia. Make no mistake about it. Julia is, no offense to anyone, she's my favorite person in the world. And it can be difficult. But we had one of these home visits today that I had to take her to school, that I had to pick her up from school, get her set up, and all of this stuff. And it's October the 7th. 1 year ago today, 1,200, 1,300 innocent people were slaughtered. Now, these were not people who were combatants. Again, these were innocent people. In fact, they were very young people, for the most part, at this concert, this Nova concert. And it was a concert for peace. It was a concert that these young Israelis were attending, were part of, because they were sure they could live in peace with people in Gaza. And it was only, I don't know, a mile or so from the border with Gaza. And in the midst of their concert, terrorists flying in, these handheld little parachute sort of things, and they just started slaughtering people. And as if that were not enough, last year around this time, it was the Hebrew holiday of Simchat Torah. Now, you may be asking, well, is today Simchat Torah? It's not. Because remember, we've got a lunar calendar that we use in Judaism. So it's a different sort of a thing. But we are in the midst of what Jews refer to as the 10 days of awe. The time between Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year, and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And during these 10 days, you are really supposed to be examining things, really thinking about things. Hey, did I hurt anybody this past year? Could I have done more? Could I apologize to that person I did something wrong to? Can I apologize in advance to a person that I didn't do enough for and say, you know, next time I promise I'll do more? I mean, that's really what we do during these 10 days, a lot of self-reflection. And so I've been doing a lot of self-reflection in between changing diapers and cleaning and cooking and all of that good stuff. So while I talk about my family, and you know I talk about them a lot, and I get angry emails sometimes because I don't really care about your family. I don't want to hear about it. Well, okay, well, what are you going to do? Today, I'm thinking not just of my immediate family, but I really am thinking of the Jewish people writ large. And we are seeing the most brutal, vicious attacks on the Jewish people we have seen in a generation or two. Today at VCU, you've got Antifa with bricks and other implements. Now, this will not make the legacy news media because there's nobody in the legacy news media that actually cares enough about that story. I'm not necessarily talking about reporters. I'm talking about people at the editor's desks. They're not going to cover it. I'm going to mention it to you. I have, as you probably know, I've got a lot of friends. I got some really solid friends. Let me tell you something. People you could call at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, don't ask any questions. They go, okay, just tell me where. That's a friend. So I have friends who have said, you need to know what's going on in the city. You need to know what Antifa is doing. That's not just one person who has shared that with me. That's multiple people that have shared that information with me. And nothing's going to happen to these folks calling for the slaughter of Jews. Nothing. Colette McKeachin proved just the other day that you can call for the slaughter of Jews. And if you are arrested and charged, I mean, you will face punishment. You will have to write a one-page paper on freedom of speech. No telling if you can use crayon or if you're going to do it on your computer, if you can simply use emojis. I would imagine there'll be a lot of emojis in those one-page papers. Who's going to collect them, by the way? Who's going to read them? Anybody going to correct them? Anybody down there at the CA's office in the city of Richmond that has a red pencil that can go through and correct the errors? Or no, I guess not. So I sat here this morning early, because Julia's home visit wasn't until 11 o'clock, so I had a couple of hours here to do some stuff, but I sat, and I tried to get stuff ready for the show today, and we've got some people that I hope will join us, and some people, they may not join us, and I'm not going to be really upset one way or the other. I'm hoping that the people we have chatted with will be here, and if they're not, they're not. It's okay. But I will tell you, because I don't lie to you as part of this program. Some people are very uncomfortable with that. Some people say, oh my God, that's going to make us look like this or look like that. Don't say this. I don't care. I will not lie to you. You are kind enough to listen to this program, and the very least that I can deliver to you is honesty. And I will tell you that I sat this morning. I got a pretty cool situation, right? Got to watch Julia, but I got to get ready for this program. And I'm sitting actually on the couch in the living room with the laptop looking for stuff. And I listened to a lot of stuff, and I watched a lot of stuff. And I just closed the laptop and put my head in my hands, and I wept. So there you go. That's where I was early this morning. You're not going to hear the normal music today, and that is intentional. You heard at the top of the hour the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And I know there are people that don't speak Hebrew, and that's okay, and we joke about it on Fridays and say if you're Hebraically challenged. Well, if you are Hebraically challenged in that regard, that means hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That's the fundamental underpinnings of the Jewish religion. It defines everything that Judaism is all about. We were the first monotheistic religion. Other great religions, the Abrahamic religions, come from Judaism. Now, you can practice what you want, and I'm not getting into a theological discussion. I'm simply saying that defines who we are as a people. I'm going to share a little bit more of my thoughts, my feelings on that today. And I'm going to invite you to be part of this. You may or may not have thoughts or feelings on this. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. You would reach us on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. I'm just curious to know, is today's one-year anniversary of consequence and meaning to you? Did you forget about it? Because it's okay if you forgot about it. It's not going to hit everybody the same way. But I am curious because I'm here. And I'm going to be here until 6 o'clock this evening. And then I got to go take care of dinner for Julia, which is, again, no offense to anybody, far more important than anything else I'm going to do. I'd like to know. 833-804-1140, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. You tell me. Have you seen quality coverage of this? Or do you think it's being buried? Are we going to hear about the vicious anti-Semitic activities on VCU's campus today, or will that be buried? And what are your thoughts? 833-804-1140, Chronic Care of Richmond text line. 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 1,300 innocents in Israel. I mentioned the young people who were at that Nova Peace concert. Right, they were the whole concert was dedicated to two-state solution, where we're going to have Israel and we're going to have yet another Muslim nation on Israel's border. Okay. Oh, and it'll all be fine. It'll all be fine because we're going to live in peace. Well, here's the odd thing about this: since 1948, the founding of the modern day state of Israel, all that Israel has asked for is to live in peace with their neighbors. Israel was given the crappiest piece of land that you could find on planet Earth. And they made it bloom. The Israelis took a desert. And they made it bloom. The Israelis were told, look, this is the best we can do. It was, take it or leave it. Well, of course. He said, we'll take it. Why? Because it's our homeland. Because Jews have been living there for thousands and thousands of years, long before Islam was a thought, long before Christianity came into the world. And there were people who said, but, it's a desert. I mean, what are you going to do? It's a desert. And they said, we will make it bloom. Now, you take a look at Israel. And you take a look at what Israel produces and what Israel has been able to do. Oh, by the way, you people going to live there in Israel? No fresh water, really. I mean, there's some, but it's not a lot. You got a really salty sea over there. Good luck. We'll take it. Israel, one of the first to desalinize water and make it potable for their people. I mean, that's what Israel did. It's what Israel continues to try and do, is live in peace with their neighbors. I don't know exactly how it goes. I do believe, I mean, I heard the report, and no offense to to my friend Charles Pyle. He's sharing good information. I know Joe Biden was putting in an appearance. Joe Biden is a fraud and a phony who was part of the problem here. I'll explain more of that on the other side at 3:35. It is 3:27. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. We're going to share some stuff just like that. And I don't have any nifty, upbeat music for the top and the bottom, and that's by design. It's a very difficult day. And if it's not a difficult day, you may need to re-examine a thing or two, because it ought to be a difficult day. And not just the Hebrew pronunciations, by the way. The rabbi over at KBI, Knesset Beth Israel, David, good solid guy, and I like the things that he's saying, and I'm hearing in the reports, and I'm hearing some of that here, and I'm not surprised by that, because I know Charles and Sarah and Gary will do a great job, but I would say I'm amazed by the lack of other legacy media coverage, but I'm not amazed and I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed yet again, but it's just another reminder of what is and is not all that important. What you just heard is the mourner's Kaddish. When you have a death, your family in particular, but somebody else who might have importance in your life, you recite the mourner's Kaddish. By the way, that's not Hebrew, that's Aramaic. And what's interesting, the most interesting about the mourner's Kaddish is it doesn't talk about death. It talks about life. And it is the way that the Jewish people have survived for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, even in the face of terrible assaults and oppression and slaughters and the Holocaust, the Shoah. We have survived by focusing on living as opposed to dying. We have a tradition in Judaism, and I know this might very well be like a lecture. It's like a lesson on Judaism, right? Judaism 101. I'm not educated enough to do that, but I will tell you that we have a tradition inside of Judaism where we leave some pebbles on the headstone of someone who's passed away. And that really comes from another tradition that we have. When we bury the dead, we grab a handful of soil and throw it down into the grave. We throw it on the casket or the shroud or whatever it is that is being buried, however that person is being buried. So we throw a handful of dirt. Well, why would you do that? Isn't that insulting? No. It is a reminder that we do good things simply because we are commanded to do good things. Well, how does that tie into the dirt and the casket? I don't get it. Well, I'm going to explain it. You throw the dirt, and that is a mitzvah. It is a good deed. It is a favor. And it can never be repaid by that person. That person will never be throwing dirt at your funeral, will they? They're not going to toss the dirt on your casket. It is your opportunity to do something that is right and good simply because it is right and good, with no possibility of payback from that person in this world. So we focus on the living. When my dad passed away, Heidi and I were living in Las Vegas at the time. Harry was, as I found through the years, typical for Harry. He was late. Heidi was pregnant. Oh, man, was she pregnant. She was, like, really, like, super pregnant. And Harry was overdue. And my dad, because he always had an impeccable sense of timing, Mr. Katz did, he died. I was like, oh, really, Pop? Come on. You can't do me one solid, you know, like, hang on, or, you know what? Nothing, no. My dad decided, that's it. So what am I going to do? So I say to Heidi, well, what am I going to do? We're here. We're what, 2,500 miles away. My dad has died. My son is already late to the party. I got to go, right? I mean, what else can I do? I got to go. I have to go. I was in my 30s. It's like, you know, I've known my dad my entire life. This little guy that's coming along soon, I hope. I don't really know him. My dad, by the way, my dad used to walk around before Harry was born with the ultrasound. And I mean, he'd show it to his friends. Oh, you want to see my grandson? Here, take a look. Oh, okay, sure, that looks great. Okay. But I remember talking with my mom and my brother. And I said, well, I got to figure out a way to get back there. And my mom, who, by the way, had a wicked good sense of humor. Oh, she was, her side of the family, man, humor with them, it was like a sword. And you learned how to play the room, or you didn't go to family events, that simple. But my mom says, what do you think your father would say if you showed up here? I said, well, Mom, Dad's dead. If he says anything when I show up, we're all in a world of hurt. And she laughed and said, yeah, okay, don't be stupid. What would he say? I don't know. I'll tell you what he would say. He would say, take care of my grandson. Oh, yeah, he would, wouldn't he? Yeah. So take care of my grandson. And that is in keeping with Jewish tradition. We focus first on the living. There's nothing more we can do for the dead. We focus first on the living. But it's not easy to always focus on the living. On October the 7th,
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't have any choice but to look at people who were slaughtered for absolutely, positively no reason, and to look at the ugliness that has followed that. It has given a permission slip to every anti-Semite, every Jew hater on the planet to attack the Jewish people. And I am doing my best not to be political today, but I am here to tell you that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are at the heart of this. They have made it clear they do not stand with Israel. They do not stand with the Jewish people. I'm going to try and stay away from all the politics, but I had to share that with you because it's the truth. And again, what I hope you have come to realize after 12 years together is I will deliver the truth to you. You may not like the truth. There may be others that don't like the truth, but it is the truth that I will deliver. I would love to have you join us. 833-804-1140, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. I say that because it is not going to be a regular show today. And there were parts of me, as I was thinking about what we were going to do, I thought, well, are there going to be people who are upset? People go, hey, wait a minute, we want to talk about the election. We want to talk about this. I understand that we're 30 days to the election here. And we have to talk about it. We have to address it. And we have to deal with it. But on this day, for me personally, it may not be the same for you. And I get that. But for me, I don't know what else I can talk about except the importance of family. And that includes the people of Israel. That includes the Jewish people writ large. That is my family. And so I am sitting here hopefully, prayerfully, offering you some insights, maybe an interesting guest here or there assigned for me. I'm just going to give you this, because again, I want to be honest with you. There's some difficulties, I know, getting some of the people locked into places they were supposed to be. Yeah, it is what it is. And so that's why I'm not saying we're going to talk to this person or that person, because we may not talk to them, and I don't want you to be all disappointed. But hopefully things will work out. Again, Chronic Care of Richmond text line, a lot of texts coming in, and I want to get to them ASAP. I promise you, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Reminder to you, first thing in the morning, my friend John Reed is here. John does an incredible job with his program starting at 6 every morning. Please make sure you're here for him. 346, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 352, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. It is October the 7th. And it is the one-year anniversary. One-year anniversary of the slaughter of innocents in Israel. 1,200, 1,300. Now, if you go and extrapolate that out, this is Israel's 9/11, if you will. And that is why Bibi Netanyahu is so determined to make sure that he prosecutes everybody, every organization, every person involved in that slaughter. Now, you'll notice what he's done in Lebanon with Hezbollah. Hezbollah had a leader. Boom, they're gone. Hezbollah picked another leader. Boom, they're gone. Hezbollah picks leader number three. Boom, they're gone. Wait, we're going to get leader number four. No, you're not. Because the IDF took out the entire command structure, including the nominating committee for the next leader of Hezbollah. I'm telling you right now, if you get a mailing that says you may already be the next leader of Hezbollah, I would throw that out. I wouldn't even look at your pager. I wouldn't answer your walkie-talkie. Bibi Netanyahu is one tough dude. You look at him in comparison to, Joe Biden, who is a weak, pathetic man, and always has been. Bibi Netanyahu and Kamala Harris or Tim Walz, are you kidding me? 804 says, hey, Jeff, it doesn't take a Jewish person to realize the two-state solution has never worked. October the 6th proved that. I'm with Israel implementing a one-state solution. I hear you. Jeff, this is Ann from the RVA. Thank you for reminding all of us we need to stand with Israel and never forget what happened. We don't want October the 7th to become another 9/11 in that way. Yeah. Jeff, I am so sorry about the actions of people who truly do not matter in this world. Folks like Antifa, the people that have a brain and common sense, stand with you. They stand with Israel. Those hacks will get what's coming to them in the end. Jeff, my heart weeps for Israel. I happen to be a Catholic. I see Jews as our older brothers in God's family. The only thing I've seen on TV with digital antenna over my airwaves, Epoch Times, NTD News, which has had fairly extensive coverage the last couple of days on October the 7th. I've seen very little in the mainstream media about October the 7th. Our thoughts and prayers are with you and yours today. Jeff, Tony. Thank you, Tony. Hello, Jeff. This is a very profound day. 1 year after the savage attack of innocent Jews, it will always be a day to remember, and I pray for Israel every single day. Rebecca in Henrico. Thank you, Rebecca. And remember, it wasn't just Jews. I mean, it was directed at Jews specifically, right? But hey, if somebody else got caught and got hurt, no worries. People who were Druze, you got to go too. Innocent Muslims caught, you're dead. Christians, forget about it. Remember what Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, all of their proxies from Iran, what do they say? First it's Saturday, then it's Sunday. They are coming for you too, and you got to be aware of that. We're going to talk more about it as we head through the afternoon. I know it is different than it usually is, but I'm not going to apologize. It's a very, very different sort of a day today. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 406, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Jeff, if I'm a Christian, what does the Shema mean to me? Great question. Jesus said the Shema twice a day, every day. Deuteronomy 6:4 tells you all about it. I mean, this is something that I would say brings many, many, many people together. What happened a year ago should have brought people together. Well, let me rephrase that. It should have brought the right people together. Instead, it brought all the wrong people together. You have people today, college students, on the campus of Columbia University saying that there must be, quote, one solution. Now, it's an interesting turn of a phrase, don't you think? One solution. I would ask you to look back not too far in history to Adolf Hitler, who came along with the final solution. And the final solution was the extermination of Jews, the eradication of every Jewish human being on God's green earth. That was his goal. That was the final solution. And it was well underway. I know that we're trying to be as fair as possible in the news coverage of this, but I will tell you that what's going on, especially at VCU, this is not pro-Palestine. This is pro-Hamas. This is anti-Jewish. I will share a couple of little things with you that you may or may not be aware of. Antifa, once again, has put stuff into place. Bricks, pallets of bricks downtown. Wow. Riot supplies in the city of Richmond. Those are for the VCU idiots, the useful idiots at VCU, who are running around chanting pro-Hamas statements. Maybe if you're 18 years old, you don't get it. I don't know. I really don't. 18, 19 years old, go, you know, this all fits in with the critical race stuff, right? Critical theory, which we have seen in place now in our public schools for a couple of generations. Critical theory tells you that there are the oppressed and the oppressors. That's it. You are either oppressing someone else or you are being oppressed by someone else. Period. End of story. The contemptible, palpable Jew hatred that has emerged has allowed those pimping critical theory to say the Israelis are the oppressors and the people in Gaza are the oppressed. What, of course, is left out of the entire discussion, I would dare say by design, is that the people of Gaza elected Hamas to lead Gaza. I mean, that was a free, fair, and open election. And they chose Hamas. Well, the Israelis are starving them, Jeff. Well, actually, that's not true either. The Israelis have facilitated deliveries of food and water, made sure electric was here, all sorts of stuff. But here's the problem. Hamas has stolen by the truckload the food and the water. Hamas has cut electric to certain places while keeping it on as best as possible in their terrorist locations. Hamas chose to embed terrorists and terrorist items inside the homes of people who live in Gaza. They are the ones who put missile firing batteries inside of hospitals and schools and mosques. And it is by design. It is so when they are eliminated, despite the pinpoint accuracy of much of the technology that Israel has developed, there will be civilian deaths. And then because you have anti-Semites in the ranks of the legacy news media around the world, who have been educated in the critical theory that says you are either the oppressed or the oppressor, and you don't get to say which one you are. Somebody else has given you that label. And then with that, well, Israel's, they're the bad guys. They're the bad guys. And that is aided and abetted by people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and every other one of these folks on the left who is letting their inner anti-Semitism bubble to the surface. Where's Mark Warner? Where's Tiny Tim Kaine? Good questions, don't you think? How about Abigail Spamberger? Another phony. She's speaking up for the people of Israel? She's speaking up for Jewish people in general? No, she's not. And if you don't think that is by design, then you're an idiot. No offense, but you're an idiot. This is one of the ugliest situations I have ever seen. And I don't want to sound like somebody's father or grandfather or great-grandfather. Well, you know, back in the day. But I got to tell you something. I'm looking at this, and I'm just thinking to myself, man, I really don't think I've ever seen anything like this. You know, the Arab states around Israel that have consistently attacked Israel since the founding of the modern state in 1948. They make it a point, if at all possible, to attack on Jewish holidays, right? The Yom Kippur War, 1973. This particular slaughter took place on Simchat Torah. And in fact, after they were done slaughtering the innocent teens and early 20 folks at the Nova concert, they then went into neighborhoods. Now you hear the phrase kibbutz. It's basically like saying a subdivision. I think that's the best way to say it, the best comparison to be made. It's like a subdivision. Oh, we live in, I don't know, whatever subdivision comes to mind. And they went door to door. Now, every house, every apartment in Israel has a safe room. Why? Well, because of situations like this. And the terrorists, despite being the absolute sludge of the earth, not necessarily stupid, they know that. And so they went door to door, knocking on the doors, saying Chag Sameach, Hebrew for happy holiday. But they went to one kibbutz in particular, one neighborhood, one subdivision. It's filled with all secular Jews. They didn't even know it was Simchat Torah. They had no idea. And we're in that phase right now. I got to tell you something. For my people, we got like a billion holidays this month. And it's come one after the other. And they went around saying, oh, happy holiday. Happy holiday, trying to get people out of their safe rooms. They destroyed everything for the sake of destroying it. They raped children. They raped little girls, babies. They decapitated people. They tortured grandmothers. You need to be aware of this. It is why today is just a little bit different. I've got some more texts that I will share with you in a moment. The Chronic Care of Richmond text line is available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 415, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 421, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I want to give you a sense of what happened last year. I mean, I know I'm sitting here and I'm sort of blabbering on and on about my feelings today. And being very honest with you, I would rather not be here. I would. The weird thing is I'm not quite sure where I should be. There's a part of me that says, well, you should be sitting in a synagogue somewhere or in some way remembering properly. You should be at the JCC this evening for the event. Well, is it an event? I mean, it's a get. I don't know. I don't even want to use the word. I mean, it's a memorial service is what it really is. I'm looking at Governor Youngkin. God bless him, by the way. What a great man. Traveling to Southwest Virginia to deal with the situation there. Traveling out to the eastern part of the state this morning to commemorate the victims of October the 7th. This evening, he's going to be over on Monument Ave at the JCC for an event they're doing. I think it's 7 o'clock. I can't go. I can't go. There's a part of me that says I really need to be there. And again, it's about family. What are your family obligations? Well, my big obligation is to family. So now I got to start kind of, you know, compartmentalizing, right? Family writ large, the Jewish people, so I should be over there, the JCC at 7. Family in the micro, Julia. Joe's not here. Emily is gone for the day. I mean, you know, they it seems like they always travel together because they're always together. But anyway, so they went out. So it's me and it's Julia. Okay. Well, I got to take care of Julia. So I won't be over at the JCC this evening. Believe me, I'll be there in spirit. But I don't know where I should be. There's a part of me that says, man, you just need to be somewhere doing something. I'm hoping this is it. But I do want you to remember what happened after October the 7th, 2023. Germ, if you would, please cut number one.
The health ministry in Gaza, run by Hamas. The health ministry in Gaza, run by Hamas, says more than 7,000 Palestinians have been killed.
NBC News now learning between 200 and 300 people were killed in a bombing targeting a hospital. That's according to a spokesperson for the Palestinian Health Ministry.
Palestinian health authorities say the hospital was struck by an Israeli attack.
Hamas is saying that this was the Israeli Defense Force.
That is what many people here believe.
What the Palestinian government is calling a war crime.
A direct hit from an Israeli airstrike.
This hit on the hospital.
Directly hit by an Israeli strike.
The hospital strike.
There is a sort of both sides pointing the finger at one another.
This kind of death toll is not what you normally associate with Palestinian rockets.
Hamas does not have the kind of munitions that could do this kind of damage.
Hamas officials say the death toll in the Gaza Strip is now over 6,000.
Hamas says Israeli airstrikes have killed more than 7,000 Palestinians.
Hamas says Israeli strikes in Gaza have killed almost 50 hostages.
According to the Palestinian Health Ministry,
according to Palestinian health officials,
According to Hamas officials.
We spoke to a senior Hamas official.
That's not only according to Hamas and Palestinian authorities on the ground in Gaza, but that's according to international rights groups, according to people we've been speaking to.
New reaction to President Biden's visit to the Middle East from a spokesperson from Hamas.
There are instances in the past where the Israeli military has said things in the immediate aftermath of an incident that have turned out not to be true in the long run.
Oh, okay. Hamas makes stuff up. You know what's interesting to me? All of these fine, upstanding legacy news media hacks that are part of that little montage, they're showing videos. Videos of bodies wrapped up in sheets. What they're ignoring is that some of those bodies are moving. Why? Because it's a photo op. Because it's propaganda. It's agitprop. Images, videos of men holding children. Oh, my child has been killed by those nasty, ugly Israelis. Anybody notice that the child is...
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's actually wiggling around a little bit because the child's not dead. Now, I'm not telling you that there aren't civilian casualties. There are a lot of civilian casualties. This is how you fight a war. A war is fought by two sides, right? Let's make it as easy as possible. A versus B. A fights B and inflicts damage on B until such time as B says, that's it, we're done. End of war. That's how this goes. It is ugly, it is painful, and it is what it is. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 436, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday, it is October the 7th, 1 year ago. Despicable, vile terrorists slaughtered 1,200 plus innocent people in Israel. It is for Israel the equivalent plus of what September the 11th was for us. And I know that ordinarily we got a lot of things that we're discussing, and we'd ordinarily have my friend Carl Carlson on, talk a little bit about the markets. We're not doing any of that today. I will tell you again, this is a day that I am determined to make sure that nobody forgets. And it is rapidly being pushed into the trash can. And we take a look right here in Richmond, right? VCU students chanting, hollering, screaming pro-Hamas statements. I don't know. I guess they think it's cool. They get a keffiyeh. They get to pretend they're hiding. It all ties into the critical theory, oppressed oppressor nonsense. And I'm going to get Charles to do the Hebrew. I promise. No. It's David. And it's tough, but he's doing a good job. Knesset and David. Those are the two words. He aces those by the end of the day, the end of the broadcast. He gets an A+ from me. He's doing a great job, and we're happy and fortunate to have him. My friend, Dr. Paul Teller, somebody I've known for, it's got to be 20-plus years. We were Lincoln Fellows together out of Claremont. And, well, Paul has gone on to great things. Paul is somebody who is in D.C., has always been in D.C., an active, brilliant sort of a guy. And we get a chance to chat with him. I'm just thrilled to do it. Paul, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's a great honor. Great to hear your voice and be, you know, reconnected.
Yeah, it's good to have you here on such a day. I am in many ways at a loss for words, and I'm lucky that you are not. You are in the midst of this in D.C. I'm troubled, Paul. I got to tell you, we've both got kids on college campuses. To look at these idiots running around shouting pro Hamas stuff, wearing keffiyehs. What's going on?
Well, I mean, and that's the thing too, right? It's something that's so hard to believe. Like you said, it is hard to find the words. It's one thing to have different political opinions, right, left, right, center, et cetera, et cetera. But like you said, we've got American kids on college campuses, American professors, literally supporting terrorist organizations that use sexual violence as weapons of war. And they're kind of like, go Hamas. I mean, it's just stunning.
I look at some of those young girls. I mean, they're young as far as we're concerned, right? They're 19, they're 20 years old, college students.
Yeah.
Wearing keffiyehs, supporting Hamas, and you just sort of want to sort of shake them and go, you do understand that they rape teenagers and children as part of their war efforts. Are they not aware of this?
You know, I think there's at least some of that, right? Some of it is ignorance. They don't really get it. They're not getting the same information sources that we are, or they believe that even if they see some of the images, oh, that's AI, it's fake, it's, you know, Israeli propaganda, Jewish propaganda, blah, blah, you know, so if they're already disinclined to, you know, believe anything a Jewish person says or an Israeli says, you know, what's a few horrible images that they could just write off as, you know, fake or something like that. So it's, yeah, I think they're just not believing it's really going on.
What about the politicians? You, good, bad, or indifferent, you are enmeshed there in D.C. and you know that your mom and dad, well, yes, we are very proud of you, Paul, but when we said doctor, we meant doctor, a doctor, maybe doctor,
right.
A dentist,
but, you know,
this PhD stuff, I don't know. But
that's right.
Look, you're surrounded by these folks. What are you hearing and seeing? Is there anybody there that's actually standing with the rule of right?
Well, that's actually the good news, is we could proudly say the conservative movement is just universally with Israel. Okay, sure, a couple of handfuls of exceptions here and there.
Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of just the dominant culture and messaging and beliefs in the conservative movement, it is just strongly with Israel. Not even like a little bit, kind of, sort of. I mean, it is just hitting the back of Israel in every possible realm. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that on the other side, whether it's, I don't know if we call it the liberal movement, whatever the equivalent is, or just the Democrat Party. You see divisions, you see open hatred on the floor of the House from Democrat members. And, you know, you just see the equivocation. Even come Vice President Harris's remarks today, I don't know if you saw them just an hour ago or something like that. You know, it starts off beautifully, the Jewish people, and it's such a terrible day, we stand with Israel, whatever. And then it's always the yeah, but, right? Yeah, but we also, you know, feel sympathy for the other side. And by the way, they're funding the other side. And, you know, by the way, they're calling for a ceasefire, which ceasefire means you don't really support someone's right to exist, right? If I said, like, I support your right to defend your home with a gun, you just can't shoot the gun.
Well, that's right.
That's you don't really support your right to defend the home. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with the country, right? Like, America supports Israel's right to defend itself, except it really doesn't because it's calling for a ceasefire, which, of course, only benefits the enemy. So it's just crazy.
Dr. Paul Teller is joining us from Washington, D.C. Paul, let me ask you about ceasefires, because I'm not a mathematician, right? I always tell people I don't want to do numbers. I don't want to solve for X. I was a blue book guy. I want to tell you how you feel about solving for X. But even I know October the 6th, there was a ceasefire. It was in place, right?
Right, absolutely. And also, one thing, and I put this in an op-ed that actually ran in JNS today, the Jewish News Syndicate, instead of talking about ceasefire, wouldn't it be great if our American government, allies on the left, and, you know, frankly, the whole world, would be talking about surrender? Well, how about the enemy should surrender, right? I mean, that's what we want. Lay down your arms. That's the easiest way to peace, because there'll be no more killing on either side, right? In other words, if Israel lays down its arms, it'll be destroyed and overrun. If the Palestinian and Iranian proxy side lays down its arms, you have peace the next day. We could start with the settlement and work from there. So, I mean, that's what we've been saying, is it doesn't have to actually continue with violence. It actually could end like today, but it's got to be a humiliated enemy who surrenders and says, okay, I give up laying down my arms. Let's talk about, you know, going forward and who controls that land and that government.
Well, Paul, let's face it. Since 1948, the founding of the modern state of Israel, all that the Israelis have wanted was to live in peace with their neighbors, right? That was it?
Yeah. No question. No question. In fact, that's the irony, too. And, you know, this sometimes gets lost. But the folks who were the most targeted on October 7th last year, the ones who either were, you know, fell victim, you know, in death or were maimed, otherwise injured, were actually, by and large, people of the political left persuasion in Israel, who said, we want to live in peace with our neighbors. In fact, so much so, we'll prove it. We'll live right on the border of Gaza, and you'll see it'll be just fine. Yeah. So ironically, you know, Hamas and the Iranian proxies are killing the people who were most supportive of living side by side with them. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous.
It is outrageous. Now, tell me a little bit about these op-eds, because I'm told you've got two op-eds. You got one, you said, today, JNS. What are you addressing? And more importantly, where can we find them?
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, JNS, you know, I wish I had the whole long
URL. No, we'll find it. Don't worry about that.
Perfect. Yeah, do a quick Google search. That's the main one to really pull up, because, again, that lays out basically, it just reminds folks where we were, like what happened a year ago, because people forget some of the details, where we've been since then. And again, we, you know, respectfully call for going forward means the enemy needs to surrender. We need to force a surrender. And how do you do that? Frankly, political pressure from around the world, and obviously military might backing that up. So if you look back as an example of World War II, right, you really didn't get true peace until the Japanese were forced to surrender, the Germans were forced to surrender, et cetera, et cetera. So I see it similar here, that a violent enemy, you know, like Iran and its proxies, that's committed to the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people, isn't going to stop because it's nice and you kind of persuade it. It's got to be overwhelming military might combined with, you know, diplomatic pressure, forcing them to be humiliated, right, and to surrender as a result.
All right, so I don't do predictions, and I know you don't do predictions, but again, you're right in the middle of this every single solitary day. What's your sense? Do we get that, or is it just going to be more of this mealy-mouthed garbage we've seen from the White House so far?
You know, I hate to say it, but yeah, I think until we see, if you will, a regime change in Washington,
yeah,
D.C., you're going to get more of the same. It's hard to see how all of a sudden, you know, Biden and Harris are going to be, you know what, I've had a change of heart, especially, I don't know if you saw a couple of days ago, Vice President Harris tweets, or I mean, maybe that's an interesting slip up there, but Vice President Harris tweets that how proud she is of her administration offering, I think it was $157 million to Lebanon for humanitarian relief to help with the suffering there. And again, two problems wrong with that, right? One is, you're literally giving money to an enemy of Israel in the middle of an openly hot war.
Right.
And then two, think of the insult if you're an American citizen, let's say in Western North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, recovering from Hurricane Helene.
That's right.
And you're having trouble getting supplies, getting relief, even having FEMA drive around a road closed sign, if you've seen that story.
Yep.
And you read that, oh, but the vice president can quickly snap a finger and get $157 million into the Lebanese civilians. You know, it's just a slap in the face. So just truly terrible on both accounts.
It really, really is. Now, I got to ask you while I got you here, because your day job, if you will, when you're not offering brilliant insight and all the rest of it, you're helping my old buddy Mike Pence put together
one
or two papers and thoughts. Tell Mr. Pence he owes us a call. Just FYI, I'm just saying, because, you know, we were, you know this, we were baby talk show hosts together in Indianapolis a thousand years
ago. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, absolutely.
He went on to do one or two other things, I know. But, you know, nonetheless, but he is helping to lead the charge, is he not, Paul, especially with the Christian community in America to stand with Israel?
Oh, no question. And you know, that's what's beautiful working for a man like Mike Pence. He's not someone you have to convince to support Israel or to say something strongly supportive of it publicly. You know, it's not like, hey, boss, got an idea. Let's sit down for a four-hour meeting and go over the pros, cons. I mean, you really don't even have to even suggest it. He just does it. It's in its gut. It's natural to him. And you're right. While he, of course, intersects with all kinds of communities regarding Israel, he's especially powerful with the conservative Christian community saying, you know that the Bible says we must stand with the Jewish people and with Israel, and he lives every day supporting that concept, and it's just been fantastic.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, I'm Yisrael Chai, my friend. I appreciate you being here.
Amen.
And we'll talk again soon.
Appreciate you. Thank you again. We'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you. That is an old friend of mine, dear friend, Dr. Paul Teller. Brilliant guy. Absolutely brilliant guy. He has been inside the conservative Republican movement in the House, in the Senate, standalone operations for years and years and years. He and I, as I said, we were Lincoln Fellows together out at Claremont a long time ago, but good guy. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 4:55. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I know you're thinking, wait a minute, Jeff, I didn't tune in today for some Hebrew lessons. I'm not here for lessons on Jewish history. I'm here for your, you know, Jeff Katz show. It's usually fun. You got something good to say. You're talking about some of these nitwit politicians. Well, no, I understand all of that. I understand all of that. But it is October the 7th, and it is 1 year after. 1 year to the day after, on our calendar, what happened in Israel. Slaughter of innocents. Thousands of people now. How about the hostages that are still being held? You know, there are Americans still being held. Are you aware of that? I've heard absolutely nothing from Kamala Harris or Tim Walz or Joe Biden or Mark Warner or Tim Kaine or Abigail Spamberger on any of the Americans that were killed, the Americans that are being held. Nothing. There you go. There's a dose of the regular show, huh? It's a terrible situation we're in. A little bit later this evening, 7 o'clock at the JCC, Governor Glenn Youngkin, the community will gather to remember the victims, including a very special victim as far as Central Virginia is concerned, Hirsch. Tomorrow at 6 a.m., my friend John Reed will be here. Make sure you are here for that. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday, and it is October the 7th, and it is a different sort of a show today, I know. And gone at the top and bottom of the hour are some of the usual musical selections, and I've replaced them. The top of the hour, what you just heard, is called the Shema, and it is the central tenet of Judaism. It is the most important prayer, most important statement within the Jewish faith. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Defines everything that Judaism is about. And I will tell you that many of the folks who were slaughtered on October the 7th, that would have been the last thing that they said. Even secular Jews know the Shema. even the Jews who were at that Nova musical concert, who were fundamentally young and left-wing, knew the Shema. And that would have been, in most cases, the final thing that they ever said. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It is the very basic prayer. I will tell you that it is shared, right? There are only two prayers that are specifically commanded in the Torah. The Shema is the one. The Shema is the most important one. The Shema, for those who are Christian, would have been recited by Jesus of Nazareth twice a day. It is the cornerstone of Judaism. As there were people who were being marched into the gas chambers during the Shoah, during the Holocaust, in unison, they were chanting, they were singing, they were saying the Shema. And so that's why I have chosen at the top of each hour today to utilize that. It may not be as cool as Enter Sandman, but it's pretty important. And for me, anyway, it's helping to define not only today, but every day since October the 7th, 2023. You know how you sometimes have an event in your life? You say, boy, that's life-changing. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. October the 7th, 2023 was, in every sense of the word, life-changing for me. It has changed my perspective on everything. Everything. And things that once seemed important no longer seem all that important. And I'm not alone in this, not by a long shot. There are people across the world, primarily Jews, but not just Jews, who experienced October the 7th, 2023, and said something is different. One of these things is not like the other, right? One of these things just doesn't belong. Didn't we all learn that on Sesame? Something is different. For me, I tell you, in full disclosure, October the 7th, 2023, changed my view of a lot of things. It was life-changing. I will share with you a couple of texts that have come in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. They're very, very, very beautiful texts that have come in. And you need to hear some of these. You really do. 804 starts by saying, Jeff, I'm not a Jew. I am a constitutional conservative. I abhor the mistreatment of any religious group. What is happening to the Jews is unconscionable, both here and abroad. We need divine intervention, whatever you perceive that to be, and we need it soon. B in Henrico. Well, B, I would agree with you. I agree with you. Hey, Jeff, I'm with you. I'm pissed that the American government hasn't sent special forces in to free the hostages. Americans were killed, and they're still hostages, and our government hasn't made any moves to get them out. We have the technology and the fighters. We just don't have the leadership to make it happen. Yep. Absolutely correct. 804, Jeff, I am an independent Baptist, but I'm with you. My Bible, King James Version, says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Genesis 12:3. God bless you, my radio friend. I, too, have a challenged child. Mine is with Down syndrome. Well, thank you. I think there's special people that have special kids. I do believe that. Although, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have a conversation. There are a few things I need to know about when that time comes. Seriously, I'm going to ask God about a couple of different things. I am going to ask why Julia is as Julia is. I think I have some sense, but I don't know. No, I want some answers, absolutely. I'll tell you what else I got questions about. I got questions about flies and mosquitoes. I don't get that. Couldn't we? We could have done without them, I think. Wow. Jeff, it is sad beyond understanding to see the nation of Israel and the Jewish people subjected to the hatred and violence without end. Why anyone can endorse the perpetrators of such evil is beyond me. May God protect the Jewish people. That's Michael in 757. Thank you. 804 says, Jeff, I went and voted early today in honor of all of those we lost. We need a leader that's going to respect Israel and support them as the ally that they are. That would be nice. Well, we don't have that right now. Jeff, it doesn't matter what your religious beliefs are when it comes to the atrocities and violence committed against innocent citizens in Israel. Evil is evil and must be condemned by all of us in no uncertain terms. We must never forget. About an hour ago, 804 says, Jeff, Kamala Harris speaking right now about October the 7th. She sounds like a junior high school student reading a speech. You know, I'm trying to figure out what the deal is with Kamala Harris, because I think there are only a couple of options, right? Kamala Harris could be stupid, but I don't think she is. I don't think she's stupid at all. People say, oh, she's really an idiot. I don't think so. So let's take that one off the table. Here's the other parts of it. She's drunk or she's high. Hey, I think those options are still in play. 804. Jeff, it's sad that the lame brain anti-Semite students stupidly recycle the final solution. They're stupid. They're not even creative. No, yeah. I guess. 804, Jeff, Hamas wrote a check that their asses cannot cash, and Israel is going to make them pay. Hey, Jeff, Jan and Ashlyn, no, you're not bumbling. You're as professional as always. Right now, on the side, I feel your loose ends this day has been very hard for all of us. So much death, lies, deceit, and raw pain is a lot for anyone to deal with. Keep the faith, my friend. God has Israel in his hands. Yes, oh, I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe that. 757 says, Jeff, we feel your pain, sorrow, outrage, and more as you remind us of the sad anniversary of the atrocities committed against the people of Israel. We share your grief. We pray for you, Israel, and the Jewish people. Thank you. Tim and Henrico, Jeff, thank you for sharing your faith. Thank you for the music. It is quite beautiful. Jeff, what a beautiful tribute to your Jewish family. For some of us, we can read between the lines and realize that you are feeling the collective pain and suffering that the Jewish people have had to endure throughout their history on earth. We pray every day for Israel, for the protection of the people, for peace that has been so elusive yet is promised. No apology needed for standing up for your faith and your family. We love you, Jeff. Our hearts are with you, especially today. Jim and Deb in Mechanicsville, thank you. Jeff, the musical selection this afternoon is moving me to tears. It's absolutely beautiful. Wow. All right. Good afternoon, Jeff. I have some issues with our Lord. I believe he's going to forgive you for taking care of your daughter rather than attending a service for those who have passed. Sort of a celebration of life. Family is everything. Dave in Surrey County. Thank you, Dave. Matthew in Richmond, Jeff, what do these prayers translate to in English? Well, I've given you the translation of the Shema. That's the easy one. There are other ones, like at the bottom of the hour, we're going to share something that's called Mourner's Kaddish. It's recited when somebody has died. And it's actually not Hebrew, it's Aramaic. And the interesting thing about that prayer is that even though you say it when someone has died, it's not about death, it's about life. And that is what I believe to my core has kept the Jewish people as a viable population. Now, we make jokes all the time. Jewish holidays are the same, right? Yep. We were minding our business. Somebody tried to kill us. God came and saved us. Let's eat. All right. That kind of, I'm telling you, that fundamentally sums it all up, right? But the Jewish people have focused on living, and the Jewish people have focused on moving forward. It is why our obligation in our faith is so strong towards the living. And I am hoping that coming out of this, we somehow will be doing that. 516, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 523, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday, October the 7th. It's an interesting sort of a day because you will remember that the Jewish calendar is lunar. So today is October the 7th for us, right? I mean, it is what it is. But there will probably be, I would imagine, another commemoration in Israel when the date on the Jewish calendar matches last year's. Simchat Torah was the holiday being celebrated last year at this time. And it's such a bizarre thing when you think about these attacks, and you have to understand the absolute hatred for Jews in particular. The people that were attacked on October the 7th by Hamas were left-wing Jews for the most part, young Jews for the most part, at this peace concert. The Jews attending that concert were trying to send a message that they could live side by side in peace with the people of Gaza. That's why they held the concert so close to Gaza. You see how they were repaid. Now, there was more. Then the Hamas terrorists, speaking some Hebrew, heavily accented, went door to door to door in the neighborhoods, knocking on the door saying, Chag Sameach. That's Hebrew for happy holiday. You can use that for any holiday, really, in that's Jewish. Chag Sameach, happy holiday. Well, they attacked a community that was so secular Jews. They didn't even know it was a holiday. So please don't buy into this. Oh, we're all going to make peace. We're going to live side by side. I'm sorry. I just don't see that working. And those who are standing with the progressives, the leftists, especially those on college campuses, you are standing with Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran. I hope you're very, very happy where you're standing. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., my friend John Reed will be here. Please make sure you're here for him. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 536, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I know it's been a very different day today. We're not using our regular music, and the opens at the top and the bottom are very different. That is the Mourner's Kaddish, and those of us who are Jewish have had to recite this through the years. You recite it for someone who has died. Today we're observing the deaths of 1,200-plus innocent people, slaughters in Israel, October the 7th. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, some of these other folks seem to be blissfully unaware. I mean, I'm just taken aback today, and I'm trying to remain as positive as possible, and I'm looking at what the IDF is able to do as they're trying to bring peace to a region that, peace has always been quested after by the people of Israel, right? The Jewish people have asked for nothing else. The Israeli people have asked for nothing else except to live in peace with their neighbors, and it hasn't happened. Captain Elkanah Cohen, Kuno, author of a book called October the 7th, The War Against Hamas Through the Eyes of an Israeli Commando Officer, is with us. Captain, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to participate in your program.
Well, the honor is ours. Kuno, tell me, for folks who are paying attention today, because it's a year since these brutal attacks on our calendar, October the 7th, I mean, tell me what you were doing and how you were with the IDF prosecuting this war.
Yeah, thank you for asking. On October 7th, it was a holiday for me, for all the Jewish people, and I'm on reserve. I'm not on active duty. And during that time, I was in my in-laws. I slept. And in 5:30 in the morning, my wife wake me up. She were terrified. It was hour before everything actually started. And she told me that she had a nightmare. And in her nightmare, hundreds of terrorists were chasing us. And I couldn't use my gun in order to defend herself. I hugged her. I told her, Shiran, don't worry. Everything will be fine. But then an hour later, I was waking up by the siren and the Iron Dome system that was activated because of the missile that was shot out from Gaza.
Tell me what you've seen? Because, you know, we in the United States, Kuno, have seen, we've seen certain images, but we haven't seen all the images. These Hamas terrorists had GoPro cameras. They wanted very much to film the horrible things they were doing, right?
Yeah, they was proud. They was proud on their action, and they were bragging on that, and they did Facebook Live, YouTube Live, for everything you've done. And it's so weird to me to hear that still right now, while we're talking, there are people that supporting them after what they did. And some of them, I said that this didn't even happen. You know, it's so weird, because if you go to Hamas website, you'll see that. So I don't understand how people can protest for them and protest against the IDF and the state of Israel while we're doing as much as we have to do in order to bring back our brother and sister, that while we're talking, there are still 101 hostages in captivity for over a year. It's not believable that I'm saying that number. 100 people for over a year that's still in captivity by the hand of Hamas.
I want to remind everybody that Captain Elkanah Cohen is joining us. Kuno is the, I guess, the flight name, right? As a pilot.
Yes, it is. This is how my friends call me. And you're more than welcome to call me. This is how most of my friends call me.
Thank you. Todah Rabah. Kuno is what I will call you. I want you to know, and it's painful for me to share this, but we have today in the United States on college campuses, this day, we have people marching around. They're wearing keffiyehs. They're talking about the, quote, final solution. I mean, this is vicious, vicious Jew hatred. It is absolutely unadulterated, and some of them are trying to put forward this idea. Hamas didn't do anything. These are peaceful people. Hezbollah hasn't done anything. It's the Israelis that are, we're colonialists and what have you. And I'm thinking, all we did was go back to the land where our people have lived for thousands of years.
Yeah, you're right. I want to let your listeners to know, I'm newlywed and expecting father. The last thing that I want to do is to participate war. That day, and I understood that I had no other opportunity, because they decide to slaughter 1,200 people and kidnap 253 people. We have no other option. We have to fight for our freedom and to make sure that we are able to live in our country. People asking for peace, well, believe me, I asking for peace more than they wanted. I want to be able to live a boring life with my future baby, to be able to run my business, because that day I shut down my business and did everything in my part to make sure that I'm fighting and do the best as I can to my country. Yeah. But I can do peace with someone who wants to kill me and show over and over and over again his attention to wipe out the state of Israel. And not just the state of Israel. I fought side by side with Muslims and Christian,
yep.
And they want, Hamas want to kill not only Jews and not only Israel, they want to eliminate everything regards the West, the Western values, and Israel is just step on their way. Yeah. And right now, this is not only the war of Israel against Hamas, this is the war of every normal human being who support life instead of death. Who wants to live normally and peacefully.
I want everybody to know, now I'm going to tell you, Kuno, we're going to put it up on all of our social media, but you have a brand new book that's out today. It's called October the 7th, The War Against Hamas Through the Eyes of an Israeli Commando Officer. Kuno, you talk about this fight. You talk about how your desire is simply to lead a boring life. God bless you. I want you to live a boring life. I want you to go and love on your family. Are we any closer today than we were last year when you were pressed into service?
I think we will be closer when we're going to have our brother and sister back. But in terms of the world, yeah. I think we are getting closer by showing the world. What are we up against? Some of the people still protest, not some, lots of people protest against the IDF. Yeah. But to be honest, the world is a better place without those terrorists. And as long as we are fighting them, and we're not allowing them to pursue with their hatred to kill as many people as they can. And soon I'll share a story that demonstrates better than anything. But as long as we do that, the world is a better place. But let me share one story. One of the time, we got an intel of a school that was full with terror infrastructure. We knew that we had to conquer that school, but we also knew that that school was full with civilians. So as we always do, we start calling them all out, but no one left the area. So we used a drone in order to scan the school from above to understand why they're not leaving. And then we saw that there is Hamas guards inside that school that did not let those civilians to leave the area. More than that, one of the kids there, I think it was 5 years old kid, tried to run away. And one of the Hamas guard shot him in his head and killed him in front of his mom. Because he knew as long as the civilians inside, we won't conquer that school. So at that point, we understood that we have to kill those guards in order to let those civilians to leave the area. Yeah. And one of the time, one of the Hamas guards went on the rooftop and he was holding nothing less than a baby. He was holding a baby while he knew exactly where we were. And he was waiting for us to take the shot. Behind them was a guy that was holding a camera and just waited to film that moment. But we didn't do that shot. And we didn't do that shot not because we were afraid from that camera guy or anyone else. We didn't do that shot because unlike those savages that brutally murdered, raped, and killed innocent people on October 7th and right now while we're talking, trying to kill as many people as they can and holding 101 hostages, we didn't put babies in between our fight. And we didn't take that shot. And later on, he went on the rooftop again. He was surrounded by a group of women. One of them banged a little bit, and it was enough for a sniper to take that shot and to eliminate that threat. And I'm sharing that because I want people to understand what are we dealing with. This is the people that we are dealing with. People that don't care. Not people, I call them people. Savages, yeah. That don't care about their own population. They don't care about their own civilians. They're using them as human shields. And this is not just a story. This is something that we saw with our own eyes. And I want people to understand that.
Kudo, I want to get you back. I want to talk more about this. I want people to get the book. All I can tell you today is thank you for what you're doing. God bless you. Am Yisrael Chai. I look forward to chatting with you again. I want you to be able to live a very boring life moving forward.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I also want to say thank you for everyone who supports us. We feel that. So please keep doing that. It's mean a lot to us. And I also want to say that right now I'm on a speaking tour here in New York, in the U.S. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I want people to understand what we're dealing with. And if someone wants to talk with me, I'm more than available through my social account on Instagram.
Okay.
You can talk to me through my account. It is Elkana_Kuno, ELKANA_KUNO, and I hope to answer any question that you guys have.
Absolutely. We're going to get back in touch with you, get you when we've got some more time. Toda rabah, Chaver. Be safe. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Now, I know you're thinking, wait a minute, I recognize that voice. No, seriously, I recognize, who was that? That's Bibi Netanyahu. Bibi Netanyahu and Kuno, the captain who was just with her. These are guys. I'm going to tell you something right now. These are men. I mean, real men. Bibi Netanyahu enters a room. You're thinking, wait a minute. What are those? I hear like brass bells or something clanging. What the heck is that? That's Bibi. That is Bibi. Yeah. It is what it is. Look, we've got a bizarre situation as we are looking at Americans wrapping themselves in keffiyehs, taking PLO flags. Oh, free Palestine. Okay. Free Gaza. Well, I agree with you. No, I do. I think you have to free Palestine, and I think you have to free Gaza, and I think you have to free Lebanon. You have to free them from Hamas and Hezbollah. You have to free them from Iran. And while we're at it, somebody better free the Iranian people. Now, Iran just did a couple more nuclear tests. Where do you think that's going? Do you think that they're standing by and saying, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they're not on our side? They are on your side, right? Didn't they send you billions of dollars? I mean, we were good, were we not? Listen, I know a lot of people are going to be heading out this evening, heading over to the JCC and saying, we're standing with the people of Israel. Okay. I want you to understand you're not just standing with the people of Israel. You are standing with the Jewish people. When you're standing with the people of Israel, you're standing with Jews and Muslims and Christians and Druze. But this is a big issue. This is about the survival of freedom in the West. It's about the survival of my family. I thank you so much for those that are going out. I thank Governor Youngkin for going over there. I wish you this evening, Am Yisrael Chai and Shalom.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.